Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your patience. We have a quorum on both sides, and I'd like to convene the Conference Committee for House File 1351. I'm Frank Hornstein from District 60B in Southwest Minneapolis. We'll reintroduce everybody sitting around the table. But our agenda is straightforward. We're going to go over the A63 amendments, which basically just changes mainly effective dates and a couple of other minor modifications from last year's bill, but it's certainly the House and Senate intention here to simply repass the same, pretty much the same bill we had last year that was at the desk the last night of session, and then get this to the floor in short order. You also know that we have a second omnibus transportation policy bill making its way through the process as well, but just to refresh everybody's memory, this is essentially the same bill that was passed in overwhelming numbers of both from both the House and Senate floor last May, and also pretty much the same conference committee report we had last year. So look forward to a brief but productive meeting today. Why don't we just, again, just do a quick round of introductions, starting with our staff members here on the left, and then we'll work our way around.
Craig Sunday, Senate Republican Research.
Amanda Dewar, Senate Majority Research.
Mike Dunlow, ranking minority member on Senate Transportation.
Rod Savoy, State Senator, District 2.
Jim Carlson, State Senator, District 38.
Kelly Russell, Legislative Assistant to State Senator, State
3. Chris Savoy, Senate Fiscal Analyst.
Bonnie Drozdowski, Senate Counsel.
Joey Ball, Senate Transportation Committee and Committee Administrative for Senator Murphy.
Steve Murphy, Red Wing.
Frank Hornstein.
Abby Mann, House Transportation Committee Administrator.
Matt Burris, House Research.
Karen Dewars, House Fiscal.
Susie Maher, Committee Legislative Assistant to the House Transportation Committee.
Sally Madore, Apple Valley, Burnsville.
Connie Ruth, West Speaker, Owatonna.
Melissa Hartman, Brooklyn Park, Coon Rapids.
Dan Fain, DFL, Quantic Research.
Andrew Peterson, House Guilty Research.
Well, thanks again. Before I have Matt Burris and Bonnie Berzovsky, I don't know how you guys have... well, we'll have Matt go through this, and then Bonnie can add where appropriate. Just wanted to thank both the members of the committee and the many stakeholders for working with us. We had a few provisions that not only needed updated effective dates, but we had, as you'll recall, truckway provisions that were contingent on passage in the transportation finance bill, so those will go into effect. We have some other provisions related to trucks, but other than that, there are really very few differences between the bill that was passed. Those that are different we'll highlight. And with that, I'll just call on Mr. Burris to go through the A63 amendment. It'll be our intention to pass the A63 amendment, and I understand there's a couple of small oral amendments as well. And then we'll get the bill in the shape that we want it to be repassed by the House and Senate. So, Mr. Burris, thank you very much for your work on this.
Mr. Chairman, members, one of the items passed out is titled HF 1351, 2007 Transportation Policy Omnibus. This contains a summary of the provisions that are changed in the amendment. It's a one-pager. It's got a little bit of material on the back side as well. I'll just quickly, very briefly, touch on some of those, and if there are further questions, we can get into more detail. In general, as the chair stated, most of the changes in the amendment consist of shifting out dates, and the default is moving all of the dates out by 1 year. In some cases, that's just the effective date, but there are several reporting requirements and programs being set up where the date is also being shifted out a year. There are a couple other modifications to effective dates, largely relating to some of the truck weights and special permits for certain types of trucks with modified effective dates. There are also several sections that are being removed, and these are ones where they were already enacted in law or they're now made obsolete by other changes that have happened in transportation finance. And then on the back side of this page, there are a few more clarification and minor policy changes. These relate to cleanup on the International Fuel Tax Agreement sticker, some modifications to MnDOT towing authority, some clarification language in a couple of different provisions, and a new version of the DVS credit card payment study that was developed in the committee process this year. There are a couple other smaller things, and if you want to get, like I said, if you want to get into further detail, we can certainly answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Are there any questions up to this point from any committee members? Representative Portman?
Mr. Chair, I was wondering, are we going to go through the whole bill kind of quickly to refresh everybody's recollection as to what's in there, or are we going to go through the details of the A-63 amendment in more detail?
Well, Representative Portman, it may be a good idea just to have a Cliff Notes 5-minute summary. Just, that's a good idea, I think, to refresh people's memories. We have a huge number of provisions in the bill, so I don't know if there's a house or a research document that people can follow along with. I think you have it on your packet. But, there are so many provisions. I don't know if Mr. Burris, it's possible maybe to summarize each section and maybe the more interesting provisions. I don't know.
Perhaps just the A-63 amendment. I mean, the A-63 amendment does a lot.
Yeah.
And,
you probably get a good feel for the bill through that amendment. So
right.
Why don't we just
walk
do that?
Through that.
Let's walk through that then. Representative Horton will do that. But I would ask conference committee members and those in the public to look at the various research summaries and overviews to get a refresher course on the bill. So, Mr. Burris, maybe if you could go through the amendments and
Mr. Chair, members, I will work off of both the amendments and that sheet that I referenced, because that really, I think, provides a quick summary of all of the content and various pieces that you'll see in the amendment. The way that the handout is structured doesn't directly follow the amendment. It's categorized by the different types of changes, so there's a little bit of jumping back and forth here. But the first changes are to remove, I believe, a couple of sections that were already enacted in 2003 as deletions. Following that, there are a couple of changes to push out effective dates, and these relate to the privatization transportation contract. Starting on 1.8, this change relates to the International Fuel Tax Agreement. It's actually two stickers that are issued when that is assigned. So this is a change so that the $2.50 fee is for, it clarifies that it's for two stickers instead of just one. The following pages on page 23 and page 24 relate to modifying MnDOT's towing authority, and this is a change that affects the new provisions relating to MnDOT being able to request a tow. And what the amendment does is remove a capability for either the tower requested by MnDOT or a tower that's privately requested to be able to do the tow in cases where the reason for the tow is because the vehicle poses an accident or traffic hazard. This removes the provision that would allow for private towers to be contacted and towed, so that when it's a traffic hazard, MnDOT would be able to just do the tow immediately. Also along those lines, on 212 of the amendment, this changes the language. The basic effect is about the same. It also relates to MnDOT's towing authority, but it modifies the provision a little bit so that the tow, if a tow has been privately requested, the whoever it is that gives the tow is dependent on who arrives first as opposed to who is requested first. On 2.19 of the A63 amendment, there's a clarification that it's images from a TV screen that are not allowed to be visible to a driver who is operating a motor vehicle, as opposed to the sides or some part of the TV. It's just clarifying that it's actually the images that wouldn't be visible. Following that, on the amendment, there are a couple of changes to make provisions effective the day following final enactment. The default in this bill is an August 1st effective date when none is identified. There's also a provision change relating to hay bales. The basic provision in the bill is to modify permits for wide loads of failed agricultural products. And under current law, there are a couple of different types of sets of requirements for different types of hay bales. And the overall bill change is to just have a single permit for any type of round or square hay bale. The amendment lowers the overall cap on the height of that from 15 feet down to 14.5 feet. This was a MnDOT request to be able to fit with bridge heights. A couple of the following changes are, again, shifting dates out by a year or date ranges out by a year for, there are a couple of different provisions where the date is, you know, the dates are set to be effective in 2007, and since it's 2008, just moving it out a year. So actually, I'll jump forward to page 3 of the amendment. On page 3, line 10, there are a couple of changes identified by MnDOT or requested by MnDOT to the Unified Carrier Agreement. And this is the language that they're requesting to provide them with authority relating to that agreement. And they have a little bit more information this year on how it is that agreement would be structured. So this is sort of an update on how their authority would be arranged. Page 3, starting on line 29, there are a couple of effective date changes. August 1, 2008, as I said, would be the default effective date. This clarifies that for the pipeline violations, where the amounts of violations are being upped in the bill, this clarifies that it would be for violations committed on or after the August 1 date where the violation amounts are increased. Starting on page 4, there is a provision in the bill relating to limitations on transit funding. This provision was passed by already enacted in the transportation finance bill earlier this year. This contains a couple of changes so that it's going against the old language that was enacted to provide a little bit more flexibility for county regional rail authorities who already have an application going for federal funds, so that the caps on how much can be used for capital costs for certain projects can be exceeded beyond the new caps that were established. It also clarifies how the provision applies in relation to the new metro area sales tax. Page 4, line 24, are starting there. The Metropolitan Council is in the middle of an update to its transportation policy plan, so this clarifies that the changes in the bill would apply after that update. And then on page 4, starting on line 26, this changes to a provision that's somewhat technically complex, but the effect is to change the effective date of one of the permits for heavy trucks, or for trucks hauling certain types of material. Under current law, that permit is conditional, or it's either August 1, 2006, or the date on which building permits have been issued for a new pulp and paper manufacturing facility. And the effect of the amendment is to just make the permits effective. On the effective date of a couple of other provisions in the Act. I believe that's August 1, 2008. There are also a couple of obsolete provisions that are being removed. Congestion Reduction Task Force is already... There's something similar already up and running because of UPA, and the Airport Funding Advisory Task Force was also already convened under separate statutory authority. The next thing starts on page 4, line 33. This is the new version of the credit card payment study proposal that I mentioned. So this is all new language that replaces the version that was in the bill. There are a couple more updates to dates. And then down on page 5 of the amendment, starting on line 30, there's a new version of the rail transit feasibility study. Actually, most of the language that you see here is the same as what's in the bill. What's changed are the requirements surrounding actually submitting a report, and a change from a shall to a may. So the feasibility study in the 394 corridor is made discretionary on the part of the commissioner.
Can I ask you a question about something you went over already?
Representative Hortman.
On the amendment line, page 5, line 29, page 87, delete section 127. The reports on transportation services for persons with disability, we're just deleting that section. We're not replacing it with new language.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hortman, there's a new version of that's in the 2008 Transportation Policy Bill, so this version was requested to be removed. A couple other items that are on the last page of the A63 amendment. Again, some dates moved out. Some clarification relating to the airport in, I believe it's Wilmer, or am I?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes. That's clarification on that the funds that were originally granted were for land acquisition purposes, not aeronautical purposes, and then it would allow the uses to be for aeronautical purposes, not land acquisition. So there was a sort of transposition of what the funds were originally for and what they would be able to be used for now. There's a deletion of a repealer because the section was already repealed. There's also a new repealer that was a part of one of the bills relating to Met Council. I believe it's relating to the light rail. Actually, I take that back. I need to double check what that refers to. But that was a provision that was in a bill that is included in the policy omnibus, but had gotten dropped out as one of the items that meant to go into the policy omnibus from the original bill and was missed. I think that about wraps up the basic changes, Mr. Chair. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Burris, and again, a special thanks to Mr. Burris and Ms. Berezovsky for all of their help. This is a very long bill. We're approaching 100 pages here. Well, we've topped 100 pages and probably added a couple. So, again, my real appreciation for your ability to kind of digest it all for us and update it. Are there any questions from the committee on the A63 amendment? Yes, Representative Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if you have more clarification on the tolling. Is that taken out because of the new language going in 08, or I'm still not quite clear. Maybe I know how
this was originally, thank you, Representative Bruce. This was originally, at least on the House side, I know Representative Hortman brought this language at the request of MnDOT. And so the changes to the bill that are in the A63 amendment are changes that MnDOT had requested to just make things easier for them when they're involved in a towing situation. And so I think, you know, again, there were some changes, et cetera, as well as some policy. So it modifies those, it doesn't delete those.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Foy wants to offer up a change, and I think that we've discussed this with all the folks that are involved with the agricultural products and the truck wheat folks. And
Mr. Chair, is the A63 amendment in front of the committee now? Has somebody moved that in front of us?
Well,
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the A63.
Then, Mr. Chairman, on page 2, line 29 and 30, I'm going to move to delete those lines. The bill that Representative Leader and I had last year was silent on the effective date, and I prefer to be silent on the effective date as opposed to a specific date. The result of that would be effective August 1st instead of November 1st.
Mm-hmm. Discussion to Senator Skoy's oral amendment. Is everyone clear on that? Maybe we could have Mr. Burris repeat the oral amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, the oral amendment is page 2, delete lines 29 and 30. That would have the effect of moving the effective date on the new ag permits from November 1st, 08 to August 1st, 08.
Okay. Any discussion to the SCOI amendment? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Senator Murphy.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, then I'd move the A63 amendment as amended.
Okay.
Mr. Burris might have a couple more.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair and members, there is another just technical cleanup item on the A63 amendment. It's on page 2, line 33. And that would be to delete the second insert and insert delete.
Only council really could come up with that.
Yeah.
Is everyone clear on the... And what's the net effect of this?
The net effect, Mr. Chair, would be to delete some new language to allow insertion of some other new language instead of inserting new language twice where that new language already exists.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy,
I think we ought to send it to the reviser like that to see what they say.
Well,
I would incorporate Mr. Burris's motion into my motion, or Mr. Burris's suggestion into my motion.
Okay. Discussion to the suggestion. Okay. So this would be a second oral amendment then from you. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed. The motion prevails. And what we're going to do, members, are there any additional amendments, oral or otherwise?
Mr. Chairman, I have the A-10 amendment that's for the bill, and it's the same issue as Senator Floyd's issue.
So what we'll do then, members, is we'll adopt the A-63 amendment as amended, and then we will move on to the A-10 amendment, and then I believe we'll be ready to vote on the entire bill as amended. So... We'll just wait a minute or two for the members of the public that are here to get the A-10 amendment. Okay. To the amendment? Okay. Okay, what we'll do is we'll pass the A-63 amendment as amended, and then we have two additional amendments. That's all I'm aware of at this point, members. Okay, is there any discussion to the A-63 amendment as amended? Discussion to the amendment as amended. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. So we have then two additional amendments. Then it'll be offered by Senator Murphy, the A-9 and the A-10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask Senator Murphy to walk through those.
Mr. Chairman, the A-10 amendment is, I must kind of lay this out here, is that we normally don't deal with legislative intent on the Senate side, and I know the House has been pretty reluctant to go there, but knowing the issue around the truck weights and, a lot of the compromise that's been made between the competing interests, we decided to have Section 122, its legislative intent, that basically says that we're going to hold off increasing any more truck weights until the 2010 session so that we can take a better look at what we're doing with truck weights for the rest of this year and then through 09, and then come back in the year 2010 and revisit the issue.
And I'll thank you, Senator Murphy, and I'll just add, I really do want to publicly express appreciation to the stakeholders in this issue for really working hard together since we last convened to come up with this language, and I think it's a good compromise, and I think it's a responsible thing to do given what we've experienced in the state over the last year on this issue. So, Senator Floyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I concur. Many times in the legislature we have testifiers testifying on an issue with completely different results on the same idea, and I think this is a very good idea to get a better understanding of what's going on with this, and I support this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Scoy. Any additional discussion to the A-10 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move the A-10 amendment then.
Senator Murphy moves the A-10 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. And we are down to our last amendment, I believe, of the morning. Senator Murphy.
Right. Mr. Chairman, this is the A-9 amendment, and this goes to the Center for Transportation Studies at the University. For a lot of years, we've
cap the amount of money that the state invests in their research. What this does, and we haven't increased that for quite a long time, they produce great results over there, results that each and every one of us have benefited from. And we're just asking that we increase their allotment of study money by, you know, just a couple hundred thousand dollars is all. And, you know, we all know that that couple hundred thousand dollars is going to be spent well, and we'll get good results from it. So what we're capping, we're keeping a cap on this program, and we're going to let it float up to $1.2 million right now. And maybe Ms. Boyd can correct me, but I think it's about $800,000 investment today. And so we're just going to tick it up a little bit. Well, we all know that it's worth it. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move the A9 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves the A9 amendment. Discussion, Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Murphy, I was just wondering why when we took out a cap, we wanted to put a cap back in. The worry I have when we put dollar figures in statute rather than percentages is then when we try to revisit the dollar figures later, like in things like a gas tax that doesn't adjust for inflation, then we have a battle, even though what we're talking about is keeping something proportional to how it was first enacted. And so putting a cap in, I think may make it difficult in the future when inflation has occurred and we would like to spend more to have that discussion in the legislature.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hortman, I agree with everything you said. The unfortunate part about it is if we use a percentage, their number could float up over $5 million, and I don't think that... I think that that would have maybe the opposite effect of what we want to do here. You know, keeping that increase to a manageable number, because if you go from 800 to 5 million, I think somebody's going to turn their head and wonder why we didn't do that for everybody else. And it would be difficult to pay for it, put it that way. So.
Further discussion of the A9 amendment. I believe that you've moved that. So
yes.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A9 amendment, signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed.
No.
The motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, then I would move that House File 3151 be recommended to pass by the Conference Committee. As amended.
Amended. The motion is then that House File 1351, as amended, be passed by the Conference Committee and then engrossed in a Conference Committee report. Is there discussion to House File 1351, as amended? Representative Ruth?
Thank you. I just have one more question going back to what we amended on with the study for the truck weights, and I totally agree that we need to do one. I was just wondering, do we have a dollar amount that we wanted to put on that? Or MnDOT has agreed to this?
Senator Murphy?
No. Mr. Chairman and Representative Ruth, this is an undertaking that we're all going to participate in, and we don't need to hang a dollar amount on it. We're going to have some committee hearings on truck weights over the next year and a half, and get the stakeholders here and, you know, listen to MnDOT and all the road folks and kind of find out what... This is a very touchy balancing act, and I think that we just need a little bit of time to have some hearings and get it all fleshed out. In other words, Representative Ruth, we're going to let Representative Hornstein's committee pay for it.
And no, certainly I agree with and Representative Ruth, I agree with Senator Murphy, and clearly I think the hearing process would be the first way to go. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think we could commence those relatively soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the House File 1351 as amended? We'll wait for Representative Medora to... We certainly want her at the table.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Yes. Chairman, before we vote, I think we should ask the public if there's any major heartburn in this bill. that might cause someone to run to their Zantac for the next year or so.
Or their legislator.
Yeah. Well,
yes, we have some testimony. Welcome to the committee, Ms. McCormick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick with CVS. The only concern we have relates to the safe at home provisions that are in this bill, because there was an additional provision that's in the, I think in the other transportation policy bill, mm-hmm. which was a compromise with law enforcement related to their access to address information that we worked out in the other bill. And our concern would be that this gets passed and we not have that provision from the other bill that law enforcement agreed to. The issue with law enforcement is that they oftentimes need those addresses so they can access or go assist in some kind of a domestic dispute that may be going on, and trying to ensure the safety of the people involved. And so that was the only thing that the department asked that I just mentioned. And I did talk with Beth Fraser when she was in here from the Office of the Secretary of State, and she didn't have a problem if you waited for that provision to pass in the other bill with that additional language. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Yes. Okay. I think Senator Murphy has some thoughts about this.
Mr. Chairman, I was just talking with Mr. Uzovsky and Ms. McCormick. What we're going to do is we're going to make sure that in our next bill that it says that, that, you know, that language replaces what's here.
Okay.
So it will supersede what's in here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for catching us on that, by the way.
Thank you. So we will have Transportation Policy 2, the sequel, coming up. You thought this was scary. That should be coming up here in the next few weeks. I know that it's making its way through. We've passed it through the policy committees and the House and Senate, and so it's making its way through the other committees, and we should be on the floor in a few weeks with that. So, just waiting for a consultation.
Okay, we're good to go.
Okay. Well, again, before we vote, thanks to the members of the committee and the excellent staff work that was done on relatively short notice to get this bill ready, and really very much appreciate, again, everyone's participation and the public's involvement, and look forward to working on the second transportation policy bill as well. So the motion is to pass House. Oh, and also just special thanks to Senator Murphy. He's just been great to work with on this bill as well as the finance bill, and really appreciate your camaraderie as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I was even rooting for Xavier last night.
Right. Oh, we have a UCLA fan in the audience. Okay. Anyway, all those...
I'm surprised that nobody threw anything at him.
He's just looking right at me. Okay, all those in favor of House File 1351 as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. The motion prevails. Thank you, members. We will have a conference committee report and floor action relatively soon. Have a great weekend, everybody.